This is the Serrano Brothers Podcast.
Hey, friends. Welcome to the Serrano Brothers Podcast. We're so glad that you joined us. All right, hermanito. I want to talk about worship today.
All right. What are we talking about?
Well, I had something happen this last Sunday. I'll get back to that. But let's first start off by talking, what is worship? Like, why do we go to worship? What's the purpose of worship? Tell me your thoughts on that.
Ugh. Okay, so I think the first thing is, I think people come to worship for all kinds of different reasons.
Right? Sure.
Like, some people come because for them, it's about just community, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some people come and they like the music, right? Some people want to hear an uplifting message, right? And they could take or leave the music. I think at its core, though, worship is about standing before God, right? And and I think that it's about both God giving us God's gifts of word and sacrament, right? But also us returning those gifts in praise, right? And thanksgiving. And, you know, so I think it's formational. It's about relationship, but it's also about like being formed, right? Letting that encounter with the living God form us into being disciples of Jesus.
So one of the things I hear is, you know, from Christians or some Christians is that it's not really important. So they're Christians on their own, and they don't really need the church. They don't really need Sunday morning in order to have a relationship with God. Have you ever heard that?
Oh yeah. And I think that's like the least interesting option.
Right. Agreed. Because it's easy to be spiritual on your own.
Right. This is a book called When Spiritual But Not Religious Is Not Enough. She says, let me guess, you exercise and where do you find God? Nature? And the trees. It's always the trees during long hikes, a long run, a walk on the beach. And don't forget the sunset. These people always want to tell you that God is in the sunset. Like, people who attend church don't know that. Like, we are these monkish people who never heard all those Old Testament psalms that praise God and the beauty of natural creation. Like, we never leave the church building. God and nature? Really? It's all over the Bible that we hear every Sunday. But these folks always seem to think they invented it. Push a little harder on this self-developed religion, and you don't get much, at least not much depth. You find God in the sunset? Great, so do I. But how about in the face of cancer? Cancer's nature too. Do you worship that as well? When you see God in the face of your children and they are saying loving things or looked just like their grandmother or saying something cute and winning about God, have you ever noticed that these spiritual but not religious adults so averse to hearing about God in church, where adults have actually spent some time thinking about these things, they never tire about it from their own children. These are people who keep the cute things kids say about God email chains. Let me tell you about my kid the other day. Mommy, I think God is like a rainbow. Can you believe the wisdom of that? Says the proud but spiritual, not religious parent. Have you ever noticed that these people, children, are always theological geniuses?
It's so true. Like, there's so much in that we who go to church regularly do find God in all of those same places. And yet, we at the same time are looking at for God in that one other parishioner who bothers the hell out of us.
Oh, gosh, right?
Whose personality just grates on us. Right. The one parishioner who, you know, if you start talking to them, they're going to talk to you for too long.
Right?
Right. But that's where it happens, right? That's where the work of the spiritual life in Jesus happens.
Right.
I think Sunday morning is so important for two reasons. And I think you're absolutely right. People come to church for all kinds of reasons. But yeah, the teaching that I'm always trying to tell people is that worship is what God does for us, not necessarily what we do for God. Because I think there are people who come who they come to Sunday because they think it's their good work for God.
Right. That's the idea of the liturgy means work of the people, right? That it's right. our work. So, right.
Right. But I think it's actually God's work, right? God does something in the reading of scripture and in the preached sermon.
Sure.
God promises to do something there. God right. promises to do something in communion. Go ahead.
No, no. Yeah. Just, I'm agreeing with you. I'm totally agree with you on this.
And so we come to the church together to do these things. And then is the spiritual work of taking what God has given us and being in community with people who we don't necessarily, we don't get to choose who's at church.
Right. Right.
right?
And it's not always people we like. Right.
Right.
There's this other quote that she says that I actually have right here, you know, that says, there's nothing challenging about having deep thoughts all by oneself. What's interesting is doing this work in community where other people might call you on your stuff or, heaven forbid, disagree with you. Where life with God gets rich and provocative is when you dig deeply into a tradition that you did not invent all by yourself. Come on
right now.
Right. right?
What book is that?
This is, it's by a woman named Lillian Daniel.
What's the
when spiritual but and not religious is not enough.
Oh, that's a, I wonder if I have that book. It's, so
it was popular probably like 10 years ago.
Okay.
It's really good. I really like the way she writes and that kind of like that kind
straight
of
forward,
just very straightforward, kind of curt, kind of like that Nadia Bolz Weber, Anne Lamott, right. you know, just kind of like no nonsense. Love that. So yeah, I think it is. I think it is the work of the people. But I also think I really think strongly, Jared, that there is a component of us involved, right? Like it is our gratitude. We come to express gratitude to God together, right? Mm-hmm. For the gifts that we receive in word and sacrament, right? Mm-hmm. That's why after the sermon, there's a hymn, there's the Apostles' Creed, mm-hmm. right? Those are that is the congregational response to hearing the word of God, right?
And I think there's something. I don't know. I don't remember which scripture it is, but it's something about offering our sacrifice of praise.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And I think there is something that praise is a sacrifice for us, especially when things aren't going well.
Right.
That we choose, amidst my wife's cancer, to come on a Sunday and praise God for all of the gifts that we have. That's a sacrifice, especially when it's a hard week with the cancer.
Right. You know that song? My oldest child, she got me into this song, right? Called I Rejoice, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And part of the like chorus says, you know, I rejoice and complain. Lift my voice that I was made, you know, and the song is a lament and
it's a beautiful song
and a rejoicing of like, she's singing about like all of her friends died from drugs, you know, and she's asking God, like, why did I stay? And you let all my friends die. Right. And then the chorus is like, I rejoice and complain. And I mean, it moves me to tears when yeah. my daughter introduced me to the song, because it was just like, I'm like, oh God, I know that. I know mm-hmm. that deep in my bones, right? Voice and complain, you know, like that's the beautiful thing about worship, right? That's why I don't think we hide from the Psalms of lament, right? So anyways.
Yeah, I find that it's those who have a connection that I want to emulate with God are those people who, amidst their suffering, amidst their trials, don't just blame God or aren't just angry at God.
Yeah.
But bring their hurt and their pain before God and rejoice at who God is and what God has done for them amidst the tragedy of their lives.
Yeah. Did you see that Stephen Colbert interview with Anderson Cooper?
It's one of the most beautiful interviews I've ever seen about spirituality.
Yeah. Talk about it.
Oh. Colbert, Anderson Cooper quotes Colbert when he says, "What punishments of God are not gifts?"
Oof.
Right. And so like we can, like with my wife's cancer, right? Like we can see that as a punishment from God, right? But we can also receive it as a gift. And my wife and I do receive it as a gift because it's changed our lives in the best possible way. And we can look at her, this terrible, terrible thing that's happened. One day the cancer is going to get her. You know, we know that. It's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be this year, right? Like, she's not close. But one day it will.
Yeah.
And because we know that, we don't wait for anything anymore.
Yeah.
We don't put anything off anymore. And we live in gratitude right now. We fight. I mean, we never really fought a whole lot in the first place, but we let stuff go a lot quicker.
Mm.
We play more. We talk more over the phone. Like, we're in more connection. It's brought us into a deeper for the present. Mm. And amidst that tragedy, bringing it back, we praise God together and give thanks for right now.
Mm.
Because that's what we have. In fact, you know, that's what we all have, right? It just, like that's what we all have. We just recognized it in this tragedy, right? You know, blessed are those that can recognize it without having tragedy, right?
No. I think that's the thing that, I mean, thank you for saying what you said, but also like what Colbert said is like to live is a gift, right? Yep. And like we have to take all of life as it comes, right? The blessings and the tragedies. And I think you're an example.
And share it in community, giving back.
Absolutely.
We got to share that with people.
And that's one of the things about it.
Right. That's why in the church, we have to be in community and actually share our lives with each other.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that's one of the beautiful things about coming together. And I think, you know, that's one of the things about like the beautiful things about prayers of intercession, right? Mm-hmm. There's always a portion where, you know, in our worship service, we say, for what else do the people of God pray? You know, either aloud or the silence of their heart. And our congregation has a really good job of praying aloud, right? And we will hear what people are struggling with, mm-hmm. and what's on their hearts. You know, and sometimes there'll be even joyous, you know, gratitude, prayers of gratitude, you know, and also in the worship service during announcements, I've started saying at the end of announcements, I always I'm always ending announcements this way now is, hey, what are we celebrating this week?
Oh, that's good.
You know, and so people will say,
I like that.
People will say, oh, it's my birthday. It's, you know, our kids graduated high school. My kid's graduating college. Like, so you also get to hear what's on their hearts for gratitude, right? It's like, it's almost a time of like a mini time of testimony, right?
Yeah.
And it's taken a while for my congregation to get warmed up to it.
To get on board with that.
You know, to get a little bit, you know, Jared, you actually are the person who got me thinking about this from that book, I Refuse to Lead a Dying Church.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Great book. Everybody
should read
it. Choosing
joy.
Yes.
Right. And so like, I've been thinking about how do we choose joy more in our worship services? Right. So that's one of the things, you know, like how do we, that's the thing of worship. Like, how do we hold all of life in worship together, right? Mm-hmm. The good and the bad.
So let me go to the opposite of that. So choosing joy in worship. One of the things I do in worship is anytime somebody gets diagnosed with something, I always ask their permission first. Let's say with cancer.
Yeah.
If somebody has a new diagnosis of cancer, I will ask them if we can lay hands on them and pray for them. And then at the end of the prayers of intercession, we'll bring them up. The whole congregation will lay hands on them. Oof. But I have everybody, I say, if you've had cancer, will you come forward first?
Oh.
And then they'll come forward first. and then everybody else surrounds them. And then what I'll do is I won't pray for them. I have somebody who has had cancer before pray with them.
Jeremy, why are you making me cry right now?
But that is something I started. I know, man. That's something I started doing a while ago, and it is a really beautiful thing to come together and then have all of the people who have had cancer, which is not a small number in my community,
right?
I mean, right,
mine, right,
right. And then they lay hands on first. We all surround them. We all pray for them. And then I always do it at the very end because the passing of the peace comes right after that.
Right.
And so I just shout out, you know, maybe the peace of Christ be with you always and also with you. And then we're already standing together. So we just share peace together.
Oh, you know,
so it's all in there. So we will lay hands. We lay hands people on a lot in our congregation at Good Shepherd for people who are going away, for people who are leaving the congregation, for our new members. Anytime new members come forward, we always gather and lay hands on them. And I always get permission first because some people aren't comfortable with it.
Sure,
but I've only had one person in 10 years go, I don't like to be touched like that. And I was like, okay. You know? Yeah. And so we just prayed for them.
Yeah. You know, Jared, one of the things that, so we lay hands on people too, and it mainly is for confirmation. Right.
Oh yeah, yeah. Confirmation.
It's for sending old members away because they're not old members, but people leaving the congregation.
Yep.
Moving out of the area mainly. And then new college students as they embark on their next
journey.
Right.
We do that too.
During COVID times, we did this cool thing where we took this big ribbon.
Right. Okay.
And because people didn't feel comfortable it being so close together. Right. So we just took this ribbon and they held on to one end and it weaved throughout the church, everybody holding on to the ribbon. Right. And that's how we prayed for them. So
that's a really clever idea.
So maybe for you, like the people who don't like to be touched, maybe you come up with a ribbon kind of idea and say, well, you hold on to this and then just let people stay in their seats and let it weave in and out. You know what I mean?
I've only had it happen once, but I'm totally going to do that. I'm going to keep some ribbon in the sacristy.
Yeah.
For, you know.
That's a great thing. And, you know, that new diagnosis thing, Jer, like, that's really, I really love that. I wish I would have thought of that. I would have been doing that for years.
It's never too late. Start now.
Of course.
Start it now. You know where that started for me is in Valencia. There was a church, a Lutheran, it was ELCA at the time, and they got up and laid hands on their youth group who were going on a mission trip.
Mm, yeah.
And I was like, wait, Lutherans do this? Because we were used to that, you know, in the evangelical word, laying on a hand. And I was like, oh, Lutherans can do this? And once I saw it, like, it gave me permission where I was like, we're going to be this type of church.
Yeah. I love that, you know.
Let's change it to something a little more lighthearted now.
Okay, let's do it.
So in worship, I had this experience that I started off with, right? So what I did is I looked up the Sunday scripture for Sunday, and then I wrote a sermon on it. And then I got to church, and I realized I looked up the wrong scripture verse. So I looked up the wrong gospel. So I preached on John, when really the gospel that was up on the slides was Luke. So what do you do when you do something like that? Have you ever done that before?
No, not that. But I have given other people the wrong scriptures. Like when I say, hey, we're doing this. Like I actually just did this last week because the 29th was, it could either be Peter, Paul, and the Apostles or Lectionary 13. And yeah. I gave the scriptures of Peter, Paul, and the Apostles, you know. But
you preached on the 13th, the third Sunday after Pentecost?
Yeah. So hold on a second, let me mute.
So what I did as a part of that was I just told my tech person to go to a blank slide and I told him, hey, I messed up. I chose the wrong scripture this Sunday. And so you guys are gonna have to just listen to this. And then they were okay with it. So if you haven't done something like that, what kind of, I don't know, foibles have come up in worship for you? And how do you respond?
I've had other people read the wrong scriptures before. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had, I've had people like not show up.
How do you deal with that? When, like, say you have a lector and they don't show up, what do you do?
Oh, like, so my operating premise that I have for worship, reverent, we are reverent and we are relaxed, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody doesn't show up at the beginning of the service, hey, could somebody be a lector today? You know, or I'll just get my assisting minister to do it, right? If my assisting minister doesn't show up or can't make it, which I just had last week, she got sick, you know, it happens. Like, life happens, you mm-hmm. know, people get sick, people can't show up. It happens, you know? Yeah. And so we're going to roll with it. We're going to be relaxed. We're not going to freak out, you know? Because if I project a non-anxious presence, they will be non-anxious as well.
Right.
Right? So that's
reverent, relaxed. We need an R word for flexible.
That's what that's relaxed is flexible, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that, I mean, that's how I really think about it is
I'm the same way. I'm all about flexibility. I think flexibility, how do we pivot? And I always tell all of my people who help prep worship, as long as there's bread and wine, we can do communion, right? As long as there's a Bible, we can do scripture in a sermon. We have hymns if AV breaks down. We have hymnals in the pews. Like,
right.
There's always something we can do. I actually had one Sunday, our musician called me like at 6 a.m. He goes, I can't do it. His voice was shot. Oof. He was feeling terrible. And he goes, I can come in, but I can't sing. My whole body, like he was down for the count.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, we're going to be flexible. We're going to pivot. And we pivoted to, we had people give testimonies to fill in the time.
Oh, wow.
And so for the first part of the whole service, before we did our readings, I was just like, okay, what is God doing in your lives? What are some joys? What are some, and people just gave testimonies. And then afterwards, people thought, they told me, that was really good. I really liked, you know, that we did that. It was something different. And they were grateful for it.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. I like that a lot. Have you ever gotten the giggles?
Yes, because of my wife. My wife, you know my wife. Yes, she will sometimes do something and it will get me to start laughing. And I can't look at her while I'm doing communion. Like, because sometimes she will like just give a face and I'm done.
Right.
What about you?
So I was two things. I can't look at my children.
Okay.
Cause like, you know, cause I, the only time I chant is the Lord be with you. So that one, right. The preface. And, if I get it, if I'm like way off, L will be in the background going,
My wife does the same thing.
And there was a time something happened and I couldn't stop laughing, Jeremy. I couldn't stop. And it's like it only happened once, but I could feel it welling up inside.
Yes.
Like, and it just came out and I just started laughing. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, everyone. I don't know what's happening to me right now.
And what do people do?
And people, you know, like everybody gets mad. They laugh too, you know. but I think it's that's because there's such trust in the congregation and I'm relaxed and I'm not like, you know, I don't get horrified if something goes wrong, you know, like it's just, you know, we go with it, you know.
I have a rule about children.
Okay.
I have a rule about children in my church because we try to keep kids in our worship service. We have our little pray ground, we call it, and they make noise and children will cry. And like, we want that. We want their noise in church. You know, our church is not for you if you want like a calm, you know, everybody's quiet kind of thing. We want that loudness in our church.
Right.
And sometimes kids will run around, right? Which sometimes horrifies the parents, but we all laugh at it, right? Like, because right. We've all been there. And my rule is if a kid makes it to the chancel area, I hold their hand and they help me with worship. So if a kid makes it up there, I'll grab him by the hand and we'll just keep going. And I'll tell the parents, go ahead. You know,
they're mine now.
That's a great rule.
Yeah.
That's a great rule.
I've had it a couple times and in, you know, it was like during communion, came into the chancel and the parents were like, oh, I said, no, come up here. I'll show you what I'm doing. And brought him up. All right, we're going to do the bread now. You know, on the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus. Okay, we're going to do the wine now, you know, and brought them in to part of the worship.
Yeah. One of my favorite things that just kind of go along with that. I love that your idea of children in worship is one of the confirmation Sundays. I had all the kids come forward. And when we were saying the words of institution and stuff, I had them all put out their hands on the bread and wine, you know, and I have this, somebody snapped a photo of it. It's one of my favorite photos of ministry is me presiding with all these children around me, kind of putting their hands up. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Have you ever had an emergency in church?
Ooh, that's a good question. I did. I had somebody faint once, an adult.
Like standing or were they in there? Were they sitting down?
So I was, I don't know what, I think they were, I don't know if they were standing or sitting, but they kind of went down in the pew. I only found this afterward. And the reason is because I'm talking, doing the thing, right? And suddenly I see one of my parishioners walk like kind of in the middle of the pews with a cell phone in their hand. And I was like, what? This person never usually like that. They would not do that. Right.
Right.
And so I was like, what's going on? And somebody was like, this person, they fainted. And I was like, all right, we're stopping, you know? And I was, you know, okay, I go up to them. Talked to them for a little bit, went back to the church. I'm like, okay, so listen, everybody, this is what happened. We're going to call 911. Well, they're on the phone with 911 already. We're just going to wait for them to come take her, you know. They're like, okay. So that's how that went down.
I had a parishioner that I thought died in the pews, Josh.
Oh, did you really?
Yes, he was sitting in the pews and everybody gets up for the peace and he's just there like this. And like, you know, with his head down. And so he's older, so everybody thought he fell asleep. But then he fell over.
Oh, no.
Not forward, but over to the side. He kind of like slumped down. And so people started a commotion happened. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I rush over there and they kind of sat him back up a little bit. And so he's sitting there like this. And it was like my third Sunday at St. John's. I don't know who this person is, yeah. Right? So I get down on my knees and I look up at his face. His eyes are open. And I went, no. So I check his pulse. He has a pulse. I squeeze his hands. And I'm like, can you hear me? Can you squeeze my hands? Nothing. And so then I take my knuckles and they teach you this in first aid. And I grind them into his chest.
Right.
Nothing. No response. And I was like, okay, call 911. And so they called 911. And then it felt like forever. He came out of it. And I was like, okay, what's your name? He told me his name. I'm like, where are you? He knew where he was. You know, his face wasn't drooping, anything like that. And he goes, I'm fine. I don't need an ambulance. I'm like, sorry, sir. You were non-responsive for like 2 minutes. You're leaving here in an ambulance. You don't get that choice.
Oh, my God.
And so he goes, well, let me go sit in the narthex. And so two or three people walked with him, holding, you know, him in the narthex. And then they closed the doors. And then I debriefed the congregation. He wasn't responsive. He came out of it. He was able to talk to me. The ambulance is going to meet him, and he's going to go in an ambulance. And then the family called me later and thanked me for making him go in the ambulance. It was his blood pressure.
So, it was his blood pressure?
It was his blood pressure.
Yeah, but with the eyes open, that's scary, man.
Oh, I thought he died.
Yeah, you're dead. Like, third Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
People already dropped somebody. Dead off your hands.
I was like, my sermon was a little boring, but it wasn't that boring. Right?
Oh man. Hey, what do you do with like when there's not enough communion? You ever had that come up?
Have. I'll either start giving really small pieces, I'll start breaking wafers in half, or I'll just go get more.
Yeah.
Out of the sacristy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. All right. We've been going for a while.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
That was a good conversation,
man. Appreciated it.
Yeah. It was good talking about worship. And next time, our next planned one for this is going to be in a couple of weeks after our jujitsu retreat. We're going to talk about jujitsu.
Let's do it.
All right.
All right, brother.
All right, thanks for joining us, friends. Peace.